Coming to you from the Coachella Valley in Southern California, in association with Anchor.fm, welcome to Is This Your Playlist? On tonight's episode, Kedrick's good friend Stephen Chandler returns all the way from Australia for more witty banter. My name is Joey, and part one of this evening's playlist will begin now.
Hello, listeners. This is my podcast, Is This Your Playlist? And tonight is episode number 65. And I have brought back my good friend, Steve. Yes, another Steve. Everyone says the same thing. This one is Australian, and he was in episode 61. He did the Steps episode with me, and he has graciously agreed to come back and do this particular one with me. And I really can't imagine anyone else doing it but him. Hello, Steve.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. Oh, I should say g'day, shouldn't I? Without spoiling too much information about what the show is going to be about.
I wonder what it's going to be about. It is 9 p.m. on Saturday for me, and it is 2 p.m. for you, Sunday.
Correctamundo, yes.
Yes, that's how you keep international friendships. You know what times that you can call and whatever. So
here we go. Just have your world clock set on your phone.
Oh my god, have you seen my phone?
I've got it as well. I've got US, UK, Australia, just so I know when I'm texting or calling someone that they're gonna be happy to hear from me.
I thought it was an hour shorter, so I'm actually glad that I looked at it. I thought it was 18 hours, but I guess it's 17.
Yeah, well, look, because we've just come out of daylight savings time as well. Oh. So we're heading into winter. We've come out of daylight savings time. So yeah, I'm on the same thing as you, because for my podcast I have to correspond with New York. So it's just like and finding that match is always fun when who's on daylight saving time and who isn't, and da 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 da.
Supposedly they're getting rid of it.
We'll see.
And here's a funny little thing. 5 years ago this week, I was in Australia with.
There we go.
It was a very interesting trip for us, because it was his last work trip for FOTS after 19 years. And it was my first time in Australia. So it was like, I was like, yay, I'm so excited to be here. And he's kind of like, oh, it's my last trip here. And it's my last work thing before he took this, the buyout that FOTS did. And I probably took at least 1,000 pictures. I was just like, and
that's what you do when you're on holidays, right? The most mundane thing. You're like, ooh, a traffic light. Ooh, la la la. When Americans come over there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Australians
come to America. Whoops.
we went to Manly Beach and we went to Bondi Beach, and I'm not really one to get in the water, but you know, we got in the water and the waves were hitting us on the rocks and stuff. And it was really a beautiful trip. I probably couldn't have been more into him than at that point, because I was like, I never thought I would get to Australia. I mean, I go to the UK all the time, but I never, ever thought in a million years I would get to Australia. And I was there, and we were in Sydney, and then we went to Adelaide to visit his ex-boyfriend, whose name is Steve. His ex-boyfriend's sister and her girlfriend in Adelaide. I mean, I'm telling you, I know like 26 Steves. I'm not even kidding. So it was
not as unique as I thought I was.
You are unique, actually. There's only two of you. And we met, the first one was our tour guide when we went there. See, Steve had been there a bunch of times, but I had never had. And there was a guy on Facebook that I'd been talking to, and he was going to be our tour guide. Let's just say this. His pictures were nothing like him. Like, when he walked up, I was like, oh my god, like, wow, You know what I mean? And I was just like, okay, stop.
Catfished.
Yeah, oh no, it was good. It was good. Like, it looked
good. Oh, it was good way, was it? Oh, well, that's it.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, I love my boyfriend. And so he took us around, and we had some stuff in common, and you know, unfortunately my Steve, he kind of gets not jealous, but he feels left out sometimes. So Australian Steve number one was just a bundle of energy. Like, he was like, okay, take my picture. Okay, let's do this. Okay, take that. Like, he wanted me to take his picture coming out of the water. And he had these like lime green Speedos on. And yeah, I was like, click, click. Yeah, okay. Click, 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 click. Just like fucking James Bond coming out of the water.
Yeah, Daniel Craig moment.
And here's the thing, and he's probably going to kill me because I'm telling this and it might get edited out, but Australian Steve basically put forth like to have a three-way.
Woo!
And I...
Happy holidays.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I was up for doing it because I felt like Steve and I needed to do that because we didn't really have that kind of relationship. And it was like, he didn't want to do it. My Steve didn't want to do it, so we never did it. And then I get back to LA, and I was telling someone at my Trader Joe's where I worked, this fucking 19-year-old, like, Latino straight kid, he goes, why didn't you guys do it? It's not like you're going to see him walking down the street. And I was like, God damn it.
You live, you learn, don't you?
But it was a great trip, and all the pictures are coming up this week on Facebook Messenger. So, and we got amazing weather. And I think we left on the first. Well, we got back to LA on the first, we got back on the second because I had tickets to see Duran Duran that night at the Belasco here. Okay, so I flew in, jet lagged, just like slept for 5 hours, and my friend Janelle came to get me. And in the car, I'm just sitting in the passenger side, like, why am I doing this? I was so jet lagged. I was like, why am I doing this? And we get there, and it's a really small venue, and it was the last show before they were going to take time off. And the minute they came on, it was like, bing! Yay! And then the minute they were off, it was like, my friends are like, you're doing what tonight? I'm like, going to see Duran Duran. They're like, yeah, okay, you're a weirdo. Anyway.
So that's the things we do for pop music, hey?
Yes. So how is Australia? Are you guys still on like total lockdown? What's the story?
Actually, we're doing quite, depending on where you are in Australia at the moment, we're doing quite well. Pretty much all of our restrictions are lifted at the moment as of the 25th of the 4th, 2021 at 2:12 p.m. At the moment, we're okay. We're having little outbreaks, but the little outbreaks are international travelers mainly that are coming in hotel quarantine. So, they're rolling out the jabs, and everyone's getting jabbed. There was a little bit of drama with the old AstraZeneca, as everyone knows.
Yeah.
Right. So, Australia's been pushed back a little bit in our immunization plan. So they're saying the end of next year now, which has pushed they're saying regular international travel won't return until 2024.
No.
Australia.
No, that's lame.
You can't see it, podcast listeners, but my face is so impressed.
Oh, they can see it because they can see mine. And my Sydney t-shirt that I just happened to have.
Okay, they can't see me then. Great.
That's ridiculous. I mean, seriously, that's ridiculous. It will be done by then. I mean...
Look, hoping so, but I appreciate the fact that we are, you know, on our little island here, we've managed to not have hundreds upon thousands of deaths and stuff like that. Our death rate for infection is pretty... small, but they like the elderly are the ones that are dying here, not just randomly anyone. So it's yeah, look, I appreciate the government has done the right thing so far. It's just, yeah, the international, we've just opened a travel bubble with New Zealand. So you can come to and from New Zealand. So that's our first one. And I think the next one they were looking at was Singapore and Indonesia and Tokyo.
Oh, hell no. So, they're the reason we have this in the first place.
So we shall see. I don't know how soon it's going to be that I get back to the US or the UK, which is really annoying because I had plans to do both in the last 12 months that have just, you know, as you know, have fallen through. I'm kind of glad I didn't buy those steps tickets now because I don't think I will be getting there by this November. But
no, I'm going. I don't, you know.
Oh, you're going. You're going. I don't, you're going.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm going. I really don't even care.
Look, as long as you get,
I have tickets for 5 shows and 3 of those are meet and greets. Hell yeah, I'm going. I don't give a shit.
I think as long as you're vaccinated, that's fine.
That's
a discussion for another podcast, obviously. But yes, I think if you are fully vaccinated and ready to go, then you shouldn't be held back.
There you go. And that's a good lead into the one thing I wanted to talk to you about before we get going on to our subject, which no one knows what it is yet. So Steps and Michelle Visage, Heartbreak in the City. Thoughts?
I love it, but can I, for everyone that listens to that episode, I had no idea of what was actually coming up. And it sounded, if I listened back to it the other day when you asked me to redo the show again, I was like, I sound like I knew exactly what was happening because I was like, I can't wait for what the future holds. And then literally the day that single comes out, they announced that they're doing not a re-release, but a second part to the What the Future Holds album. So that's coming out September 10th.
Yeah,
and
my mind.
I sounded like I was so psychic. I was like, I'm so impressed with myself.
I stayed up that night till 2:45 because that's when it premiered at 11 UK time. So I was up at 2:45 and I watched it. I loved the little thing beforehand when they dropped the bomb about that. I'm just amazed that they can do these things and nobody knows, like,
especially in the modern world,
like the way that they did No More Tears the Tears on the Dance Floor album. Nobody even knew that they were recording and they came back and they had this whole album. I'm interested, like, they're going to be great songs, but the two tracks that are not written on there, you know, that there's two that don't have a title. Word on the street, on the Steps, you know, fan sites, supposedly one of them is a 5-star cover.
Well, that's been rumored for ages. That's been rumored since Tears on the Dance Floor.
Yeah. I swear to God, Steven, I don't know if you know much about 5-star. I swear to God, if it's the slightest touch, I'm going to be mad because Louise already did the slightest touch and it's not one of my favorite songs. They need to do, I think it'll either be, it shouldn't be one of the ballads, no way. System Addict. I think it's going to be System Addict. It should be Can't Wait Another Minute because that's my favorite. I mean, I would love All Fall Down. I mean, I'm not going to lie. And I was listening to Whenever You're Ready the other day. I was like, that would be a good one because it would be able, they'd be able to kind of like divvy up the vocals. But I'm going to be happy with whatever it is except for the slightest touch. So the video, you know what, I almost wish they hadn't said that Lisa
was in Dubai.
did her own thing because it was distracting, like when she would come on.
I thought they did a great job. What I probably would have done, and this is probably down to budget, is maybe like put her as a hologram or something in that lineup at the end, just so she was there. But look, I, for a rollout for a single when in the middle of a pandemic, when one of your members is a whole, you know, however many miles away, it's pretty flawless. And the Graham Norton performance, I was like, wow, okay. That's when I was like, yep, okay, that's fine. I'm down with this. because I wasn't really totally like impressed with Michelle's vocals. I feel like they might have retouched on the single like again, but the live performance of it, I was like, yep, okay, I'm in. Let's do it. This is a bop.
I mean, it was my favorite song on the album from the start. So it was pretty flawless, and I really didn't think that it needed anything else. But the more I listened to it, and I did like that performance on Graham Norton. I mean, I like the. Call my name and then my heart starts beating. I did that in the car. I didn't know the call my name part, like when I was trying to figure out like what the moves could be, but when they said the heart starts beating, I was like bump bump. So, but I think they dumbed it down a little for Michelle, because I mean,
I think they were 100% live as well. There was only a little bit of playback for that, and they were like live. I think probably as live as they've been on a TV show. Like yeah. there wasn't any doubling of the vocals or anything like that. And Lee.
I know.
I know that we love Lisa. We love Lisa, but I want him to sing that part from now on. I'm not alone. A lot of people are like, I feel like he's having a real renaissance, which is nice for him. Like he's finally getting a bit of attention, like well-earned attention for more than just the bod. You know what I mean? Like,
boy can sing. I mean, he's gotten a lot of stuff, you know, with this newer stuff, you know. Yeah, he's gotten a lot. I was wondering why he didn't sing on this one. So it made me wonder if he was in this, because sometimes I think if they don't sing on it, they're not in the studio. You know?
Well, from what I can gather via social media, they go and record all their, like they record separately on days, do you know what I mean? And it's just like he hadn't been there or didn't go to that session or da 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 da. Yeah. But I'm hoping for a little bit more Lee for the part two. I'm very impressed, and I think we're kind of just scratching the surface a little bit there. I feel like there might be more to come. So we'll see.
Yes. I mean, he's really stepped up. I mean, considering how he was the first time around, I mean, he got...
Unintended there?
He got nothing. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know, right? So, you know, I love Michelle, how she's like, oh, I'm Michelle from Steps. It's like, yeah, okay, you're Michelle from Steps until Lisa comes back. I wonder what Lisa thinks. I mean, I wonder if she's like, that sucks.
Well, what can they do?
What if she can't get... through for months and months and months.
I think they're gonna have to burn that bridge. I think they'll definitely push the tour back. They're not gonna tour without her. Like, there's no way.
Well, let's
that's hope a lot that, of work.
Let's hope that they do. I don't want them to push it back because I want to go. No. But whatever.
Exactly.
So that's all I wanted to talk to you about before we get it started. And we're gonna take a little break. We're gonna get our notes together, and Steve and I are gonna come back with episode 65 of Is This Your Playlist? And when we come back, we're gonna tell you what it's all about. So stay tuned.
It's a mystery.
Hey, this is Steve, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
Welcome back to Is This Your Playlist? I am Kedrick, and I am joined once again by my friend Steve from Australia. Hi, Steve.
G'day, g'day.
Now, that's the second time that he's done that, listener. So, and I have my Sydney t-shirt on. What could the playlist be tonight? Oh, yes. Down Under is what it's called, and it is Australian artists. And when I was wanting to do a second one with Steve, it was Steps, and I wanted to do Australian artists because he's from there, and he's gonna probably give us some that like even I've never heard of. So Australian artists, and you know, there are some obviously that I could have picked and put on here, but I'm choosing not to. They might come up in the honorable mentions. I'm not going to say who they are.
I wonder who it could be.
If you've listened to the show, you probably know who she is. Oh, she's not. She will probably get a mention. So, so I will. I'll go ahead and kick it off. The first one that I picked, and I was surprised that I picked them out of all of them, because this is no order of importance. But 5 Seconds of Summer.
Oh, the local lads. Very nice. Impressed. Very good.
Now, here's the thing with 5 Seconds of Summer. You know, they opened for One Direction in 2013 on the stadium tour. And this was still kind of like early in their career. And they just seemed like a Blink 182 kind of ripoff band, blah, blah, blah. And She Looks So Perfect. I mean, yeah, it was number one in Australia, New Zealand, and the UK and Ireland. I liked it, but I didn't love it. Okay. And, you know, for me, I'll give you the stats, you know, after this, but for me, the first song that I really, really liked, really, 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 really liked was Youngblood. And I heard it before I knew who it was. And I just loved that chorus, you know, Youngblood, it's just like, that is just like, it kind of like, it came into my soul. And I really, really loved it. And, you know, from what my research, you know, brought me, it's like, you know, it was number one in your country and the biggest hit in 2018. And it was number seven in the US, number three in Canada, number four in the UK. It was Aria's Song of the Year. It was the most streamed song ever on Apple Music. The 11th best-selling single of all time in Australia, apparently. You know, it's got 1.1 billion streams on Spotify. So, I mean, it's a pretty good song. You know, so 10 million albums, 7 billion streams, like in general. And I guess they were the second act to have their first four albums going at number one in the Australian charts. The Arias, that's what it's called, right?
Correct. The Arias.
Is that what it's called?
Yes, correct.
Okay. I didn't know if I put like stress on like if it's like Aria or
no, the Arias. Correct. You are 100% correct. Thank
you. And it's funny when I was reading about how like they've gone from the first show they ever did was a place called Annandale Hotel in Sydney, and they played to 12 people, and then they are playing to 2 million people. So. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, the two reasons that I really put them on the list is for this. They covered two songs, okay? One is a song that you really should never, ever, ever, ever cover because it's boring and awful and straight anthem-ish, but they killed it. And then the second song is a song that, like, it's hard to do songs by this group, but they killed it. First song is What I Like About You. Okay, they made me like What I Like About You. Okay, that is one of those songs, if I never hear it again, I will be happy, but they killed it. And then the second one was Killer Queen. I mean, I love their version of Killer Queen. It's absolutely amazing. It's hard to do a Queen song. I mean, it doesn't matter which one it is. It's hard. You've got to
be a tight unit to do a Queen song. You've got to have a vocalist that can handle it and some really, really good, some really, really good band members behind you. And they've got that covered.
Man, I mean, I just love them from, you know, Youngblood was probably my third favorite song of that year next to Cheryl Cole's Love Made Me Do It, and surprisingly Morrissey's Back on the Chain Gang.
Wow, Cheryl Cole, wow, that's a controversial opinion because a lot of people don't like Love Made Me Do It, but
oh my god, it's amazing. I don't see what I mean. Yeah, it's amazing. Just another song about love, blah 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 blah. That's what you get for going out with a One Direction boy.
Yeah. Anyway, true.
So how do you feel about 5SOS?
I think, look, and this is the same thing as same conversations we have with Steps. I think this is really kind of only the beginning for them. I think that they might be one of these bands that are around for a while, like they'll be a career band, which is hard because a lot of the time, you know, people get solo ambitions and or there's infighting or there's this and there's that. But I think that they took enough time and they transitioned from that teenage pop rock thing to a more adult sound quite easily.
Yeah.
There wasn't really a big misstep, and it helps that Youngblood was that single that kind of blew up. And it's just, yeah, it's a killer song. Whoever released it would, you know, there's something to come off the back of that. But it'll be interesting to see where they go with the next album, I think.
Okay, cool. So what do you have for us?
Okay, so what people have to understand, if you are not Australian, I went pretty much poppy with all of mine this time around. As we were talking about before, this conversation could probably go for like 4 or 5 parts because there are a lot of artists. But I went pop. Now, what we have to understand about pop music in Australia is pop's kind of a dirty word. For the early 2000s and late 90s, we had a lot of pop in the charts. But most of our music is dictated from, and the trends is dictated from the US and the UK. So to have a local organic pop star is very rare. Most of our pop stars come from reality shows like X Factor, Australian Idol. I was going to say The Voice, but no one gets a career off The Voice except for the judges.
Never.
I'm like, I don't even know why the show's still running, but that's okay. Or they come from two very important Australian soapies.
Yeah, we don't now, talk about that.
Do you know what they are?
I do know what they are. They're on the back of my list.
So they come from two of our soapy shows, either Home and Away or Neighbours. And there was a huge trend there for a long time that singing careers developed from those two shows. The first person I'm going to talk about, though, comes from The X Factor Australia, which is now sadly defunct. We only have one singing show at the moment, which is The Voice, which is going through a reboot anyway. Now, I'm going to mention her name, and it may spark some memories if you are a pop fan. This lady's name, or young lady's name, is Samantha Jade. Now, I think, have I jumped on one of yours? sorry. Well, you can help back me up. Yeah, so Samantha Jade, for those of us that aren't in the know, is an Australian singer-songwriter slash actress as well. She first came to prominence way back in the early 2000s. So in 2002, her friend, mind you, sent a demo to a record producer in LA. It's one of these old school ones where someone finds your demo and they go, yes, you went over there, lived there for a few years and signed with Jive in 2004. So she was on the same roster as Britney Spears. And that was a big, 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 big thing for the Australian industry. Before she released anything though, she wrote the song Secret Love for the movie Shark Tale, which was sung by JoJo. Hold up. And she was, I think, 20 or 21 when she wrote that song. So for your first foray into music, to have someone as good, as great as JoJo to sing your song as well. But JoJo is a whole other series, I think, the drama there. But anyway, her first solo thing was in 2006, where she was chosen to sing the lead song from the film Step Up. Oh yeah, we're feeling old now, 2006 people. It was written by Diane Warren and produced by Wycliffe Jean. So she had a really great start. So that peaked at about number 92. So not a great peak for Billboard, but you know, for a first single, it was out there. Then she released her first solo Samantha Jade single, Turnaround, which kind of really didn't do much at all, sadly for her. Picked at number 83 over here, and she was supposed to release her debut album I Am Samantha Jade off the back of that, But as happens with in the early 2000s with pop acts, Jive said bye-bye to Sam. So she was released from her contract without anything happening. But she did do some, she wrote some more songs and did some backing vocals for Ashley Tisdale on her first album. And she also sang on a Tiffany Evans album. But then she was signed. All right, here's where it gets interesting. She was signed to an independent, like an independent small label called Affinity West Entertainment, and recorded a whole album called The Golden Touch, which was unreleased and sitting there, da-da-da-da-da. She did a little bit of acting, blah, blah, anyway, and then ended up back in Australia, released a independent single called Secret, which is a bop, which I'm convinced is about having a gay boyfriend. So if you haven't heard Secret, you need to check Secret out. But she kind of gave up on music, relocated to Perth, and ended up working in a mining factory counting stock until she saw the X Factor ad. Now, this was going to be her last shot at music at like in her early 20s, poor thing. She basically went in and dominated that show. I remember watching it going, who is this girl? And then they played Turn Around and Step Up. I'm like, shut up, that's where she's been. Because I remember listening to Secret as well. Secret was a bop, but it didn't really do anything over here. So she's come blazing through X Factor, like blazing through X Factor, won it. If you like covers of songs, basically, she released an album straight after the show. Her single, What You've Done to Me, is pure pop explosion. Went number one like 3 days after it was released. The album went to number three. Now, the album is just all her songs from X Factor. So it's covers. But she did some great stuff with, like, Kanye West, Heartless, and stuff like that. Really changed it up. But then Sam's life gets a bit tricky. As you're going to learn with Australian music artists, there is never a straight line to success. After that album was released, her old financiers and management company popped up out of nowhere and went, hey, we signed a development deal with you when you're 15. We deserve your profits. We deserve your likeness. We deserve this, 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 this. They released The Golden Touch the same week as her debut album from The X Factor came out. So there was lots of drama there. Legal drama, legal drama, legal drama, which kind of stalled things for her. So she went on X Factor tours and did all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. She then released her first proper solo I'm a Real Artist single called Firestarter, which I don't know if you've heard. Have you heard Firestarter?
Of course.
Should have made her an international celebrity, I feel. That song at that time, recorded with DNA, which are a very prolific, we'll say, Australian duo, black producing duo. That went crazy bananas over here. Didn't like chart super high, but it was everywhere. If you're like, oh, okay, cool. She went on to do X Factor. It was like X Factor Around the World or something like that. So she got a little bit of a feature. She won Best Video. She released a second single called Soldier, which is more of an R&B bop. Like, oh, the album's coming, the album's coming, the album's coming, the album's coming. Sure. So between this time, this is where your interest will be piqued. To fill in the time, she had a comparison from her very beginning of X Factor that she looked like a little bit and sounded like a little bit another very famous Aussie pop princess.
Who could that be, Steve?
I don't know. The singing budgerigar herself, Miss Kylie Minogue. The irony is, Samantha Jade went on to play Kylie Minogue in the INXS miniseries Never Tear Us Apart, which she was nominated. She was literally in it for like 5 seconds, 5 minutes, if that, but nominated for awards for Logies and stuff like that. Released another single up off the end of it. Then she went on tour with One Direction as well. So there's a common One Direction thing. The album's coming out, the album's coming out, the album's coming out. This is a second version of the album now. So all the original DNA Firestarter stuff is somewhere in the vaults. This is the second version of the debut album coming out. But then, of course, she goes, huh, I might go on Home and Away. So Samantha comes on Home and Away for an arc. She was actually pretty good. She's a bit of a bad girl. Anyway, finally gets the album out. Hooray. Her second album, but first debut album, is called Nine. It was released. Did pretty well. And then she went on to start to tease her third album, which again, never surfaced because she did some more acting. Dropped a couple of singles, but she's fallen into the trap that happens to a lot of X Factor artists over here, is that they end up releasing covers albums. So I think it's part of a way to get them through their record process and go, oh, we're going to speed this through. So Sam did an actually really good disco album called Best of My Love, which has a lot of really cool disco covers on it. And she's also released a Christmas album, which, you know, it's like, fill it out, fill it out. She's presently still working on her new album. Her latest singles have been Fire, though. There's been Bounce. There's been, what else is it? Back to Back, which it's a ballad. I didn't really do it for me. And then there's been New Boy. So there is something coming for Samantha Jade. But if you like, she's very pop, very R&B. She jumps all over the spectrum. Jump on Spotify and check her out. I think she deserves to be internationally famous. She just hasn't had the right springboard. That's my first pick.
That's pretty much everything I had written down. That's so funny. Almost. I read that she did a song for David Guetta's album that didn't make it, but it's on like bonus editions.
Yeah, it's for one love, I believe, wasn't it? The album.
And so I heard about her for two reasons. One, I had a Bimbo Jones remix of Turnaround, which is off the charts, amazing. And I kind of got that off of, okay, and I'm sure you know this because it's sort of like well known, but so it was 2007 and she was a jive girl. I think they were still like trying to get her to do stuff. So Wayne Isham was supposed to direct Britney Spears' Piece of Me video. And this was during 2007. So Britney was still kind of like just trying to find her way back. Anyway, she was, and I got all this info from a girl who was one of the dancers. Britney was 12 hours late to start Piece of Me video. Wayne Isham got pissed off, and the record company was actually going to give that to Samantha Jade. Britney found out about that, and then she tailed it over.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty like common pop knowledge. It's funny, like she's had so many this close moments to like doing big, big stuff. It's just like, oh, so frustrating.
And then what's even funnier is like the Piece of Me video. If you watch it, you know, because the girl said that Britney showed up in her like white trash tied up hair, and Wayne Isham was like, okay, let's just get going, because he was pissed off. She was 12 hours late. So they just started filming. And then my friend said that all of a sudden, Britney just says, stop, stop, stop. I want my hair done. So that's when she had the long hair. And if you watch the video, like Wayne Isham was probably like, okay, well, I'm not going to try and do this. If you watch the video, she has the white trash hair in one shot, and then they go away and she comes back and she has the long shot. Like in the bathroom when they're spinning, they're doing the dance. I was just laughing at that. And it's just like, you know, my friend was like, yeah, she just kind of said, okay, stop, stop, stop. And like, then she took like, I don't know, 2 hours to do her hair or whatever. But it was funny. That's how I knew who Samantha Jade was, because she was, you know, going to be an up and coming artist on Jive, and, you know, Jive had the magic touch. And, yeah, Britney heard about that and hightailed her booty down there. So That's how we got Peace and Me Video. And I knew
who everyone's saying that Britney doesn't know what she's doing. She knows enough to jump on an opportunity when it presents itself.
Well, yeah, but she almost lost. I mean, 12 hours late.
That's Michael Jackson late. You know what I mean? That's like, that's Michael Jackson late.
That's Madonna late.
True.
I did hear Shake That, her song with Pitbull. That was one of the first things I heard. I actually didn't know that she played Kylie in the movie until I was doing my research, and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. That's so funny that she's on your list and she's on my list. So we just killed another one. Yay.
Great taste.
Exactly.
Hey, this is Brent from Probe 7, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
So from Samantha Jade, I think that we could go to, I guess, well, okay, so 5 Seconds of Summer, I guess they're considered, you know, a boy band, but like, so England, if you know anything about pop and you know UK and US or whatever, UK has boy bands popping up every single second of the day. Boy bands. But it seemed like Australia did have a lot of them. I used to think that maybe the Australian boys were like, oh, fuck this, man. I'm not going to do that. I'm too cool. And yeah, let's go, like, you know, run tractors.
Hang some Sheilas.
And so the one that was the one for a long time, they are Michael and Andrew Tierney, Phil Burton and Toby Allen. They're called Human Nature now.
They are. Do you want a little inside secret that I don't know I've told you?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
I've worked with Human Nature.
Oh, you have?
I have. So I work for a music company over here, music and DVD retail. I know that still happens, called Sanity. And we did TV ads for the show, for their place. And we did a couple, and we were waiting to see if we're going to do another Mother's Day one, and it never came through. I was like, okay, cool. No worries. They sent the email. I was like, yep, no worries. I was at work, and then I got a phone call from head office. I'm like, oh, sure, okay, what have I done wrong now? Standing there by myself on a Thursday night. They're like, look, you can't tell anyone else, but we're going to do another ad. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, so when are the guys available? They're like, no guys, just you. I'm like, oh, okay. They're like, you literally can't tell anyone though. I'm like, oh, okay. They're like, because it's with an artist. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, cool, cool. Like, oh, it'll be Human Nature. I'm like, oh, wow, cool. Because they're hugely famous here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I go down to film this ad with Human Nature. That was like, the call happened on the Thursday. And by the next Monday, I was in Sydney filming with them. And it was for their new cover, like one of their new covers albums that they did, and I like had to walk in with the CD and blah blah blah. But they're like, oh, do you sing? I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, okay, cool, so you can sing with the boys. I was like, okay. Now, for those of you that don't know Human Nature, they are hugely famous for being an a cappella, like an amazing vocal harmony group. And so they're standing there singing away, and I just have to burst onto the screen and sing with them. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, why did I agree to this? So I did, and they gave me the thumbs up. So that was a while ago now, 5 or 6 years, but I have sung with Human Nature.
Wow, that's so, Human Nature Animals Club 3.
Oh, yeah, I collect them, mate. I collect pop groups. Human Nature. There's another story coming up later. But anyway, continue. Sorry to interrupt.
I love insight. I love stories that no one knows. Well, here's the thing with Human Nature. Like, I remember in 96 when Wishes came out on like a compilation, and I remember seeing them. And here's the thing. Phil is my favorite now. But the only thing I remembered back then from Human Nature was Michael when he had the long curly swoop thing. And that was all I remembered. And I kind of didn't really like Wishes very much. So I was kind of like, okay, yeah, there's just, you know, I mean, because, you know, there's a million boy bands. This CD was called Boys. So it was like all boy bands. And I just didn't really like them very much. It wasn't that it's not that they did anything wrong, but it was sort of like, I just wasn't feeling some of the songs. So fast forward to 2000, they released He Don't Love You. And I think I saw the video first. It's like, He Don't Love You Now. Bump, bump, ch- bump, bump, bump. And this was during the
period. They went full NSYNC.
Oh yeah, that's... yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. And this was during the time period when, like, there was a remix team called Amen UK. They did a lot of stuff. And there's another one, and I can't think of what they... Oh, Jewels and Stone, they did remixes. And I really liked the video, and I really liked Phil. Phil was my favorite, because I like his little, like, do you know his friends? Do you know what this... That one. And I was like, okay, cool. And then, like, I know Gary Barlow wrote a song on their album, and you know I love Gary Barlow, so... and then when I went to see S Club 7... in England in 2001, they were the support act. And I believe that When We Were Young was released. Well, He Don't Love You was released like on the backing of the tour, and it got to like number 20. And that's when they introduced the S Club Juniors. So it was that the Carnival tour. And, you know, I mean, Human Nature, they got the front of the stage. I believe they sang five songs probably. And that was it. And they all were in white and they did their little dance things and it was cool. And I believe Toby had blonde hair at the time and he was...
It would be the Pierce eyebrow bleach blonde hair look.
Yes. And he would be the...
Sexy boy, sexy boy.
He is the Stephen Gately. He is the Duncan James. He is the...
He's the gay one.
So, yeah. So then I remember they released Don't Come Back. And I really like that remixes. And, you know, and then so like 2003, I believe they released the Greatest Hits album. And I mean, there was two new songs, Always Be With You, which had like it had a hook from a Shalimar song. And I love Shalimar. And then they did a cover of Terrence Trent D'Arby's Sign Your Name. Oh my God, it was so good. Their version of Sign Your Name is so good. So I kind of backtracked a little bit and, you know, and
I discovered their whole back catalog of songs that they've released here.
Yeah, sometimes that's the thing with me. Sometimes I have to, like, I get to backtrack and go back and listen to these songs. So you know what? They're a great, great group. And I love Wishes. Listening to it is just like amazing. So fast forward, you know, 2009, you know, I remember reading that like they were going to do a Vegas residency and I'm like, Human Nature, they've never even released anything here. So I was like, I wonder how that's going to go. Well, it went down like a storm and,
oh yeah,
you know, they were in Vegas from like 2019 till I think 16, because my friend Michael Caprio was their press guy in America and he lived in Vegas. And he told me about the tour that they did. They did a 34 city US tour. I didn't get to go see it. I don't really know why I didn't go, but I didn't go. But Steve and I were going to be in Vegas in 2016 and Michael arranged for us to meet them before the show. So there's a picture of me and them and Steve. I mean, it was literally like right before they were going to go on, you know, they kind of ushered us back and I said, hey, and they're like, oh, you're Michael's friends. And I was like, yeah. And I said, oh, I saw you guys with S Club 7. And Phil goes, wow, that was a long time ago. I go, yeah, it was. I was like, you guys are really good. And I said, I'm looking forward to the show. And they're like, well, nice to meet you. So there's a picture of me and them and Steve. And I just love it. And did I maneuver myself to where Phil was? Yeah, that's what I do. So I know that they came back to Australia after that, like even bigger than they ever were. And I know they did a big, tour. And I guess in 2019, they were inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame. And yeah, they were real. I mean, I saw one of the Motown shows and they really just, they did it. I mean, they just.
They've got it down. They're very good at what they do. Yeah. There's a reason, like I remember seeing them back in the day, in the 90s, they came up through a school thing called the School Spectacular. So it was like all high schools and stuff performing. I remember seeing them at School Spec go, wow, they're amazing. And then now they're a huge international like pop act. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was surprised that they did so well here, but I guess when you have Smokey Robinson behind you, that's a pretty big thing. So
they appeal to that age group a lot. Like that, those covers albums, yeah, they go off. Yeah, well, there's always money in the grey market. You know what I mean? they love their old songs and any version of their old, like especially with accomplished singers, those songs are classics for a reason. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So yeah, Human Nature is they're my next choice, and I'm not sure what I'm sure they're doing stuff now, but
you should mention that they are just about to release an EP. They've just recorded a single with another Australian artist from Australian Idol, Guy Sebastian, our first idol. So those voices together is probably going to be something huge because people love Guy, people love Human Nature. So they've got a new EP coming out. I'm not sure when, though.
Nice. So why don't we take a little break? And when we come back, we're going to talk about some more Australian artists on this Down Under episode with me and my good friend Steve from Australia. And so keep listening to this, episode 65, and we will be right back.
Thank you for tuning in tonight to Is This Your Playlist? If you are tuning in for the first time and like what you've heard, please like and subscribe. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts and many more. Find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. A big thank you to Stephen Chandler for filling in tonight. Part 2 of this episode coming soon. Please join Kedrick and Rissa next time for more fun facts and witty banter. My name is Joey. Thank you, and good night.